This is the order of battle!
This is an Operation Recall concept creator interview. I sat down with Chad LaForce, the concept creator of Cadaver. Cadaver is also the inspiration for the skull logo that you're seeing pop up over multiple bad guys in the Operation Recall project. Chad is newly returned to the toy collecting community, but he is a professional working artist, and some of the immediately iconic graphics he brought to Operation Recall are exciting and stunning. And if you've listened to Carson talk, they're inspiring even the original designers. So welcome back to the fold, and thanks for bringing us Cadaver.
Yeah, so maybe first thing that we could actually talk a little bit about. So my Facebook says Malcolm Zydeck. What that is that's a character that I created to be sort of the grandmaster, the hard master, kind of the silent master of some of these operative characters that I've had in my mind for a long time. I wanted them to sort of be rallied around sort of the secret benefactor who kind of trains them and hires them, but he's really secret and really aloof, right? So that's what I called that character.
And this is for like your personal brand, story, comic book, hopefully eventually toy line, that kind of thing. That's for your personal thing, not for Cadaver himself.
Yeah. So I've been working on some of my own stuff. You know, I was a creative director in video games starting in 2012. And my job was to build whole worlds and all the characters in them and all the parallel doorways to other dimensions and the whole thing. So my job sort of IRL has been create these intellectual properties that are compelling for people. But I want to make my own stuff too and not just do things, you know, that I was hired to make for other people. So I've had in the back of my mind this group of paramilitary operators. I have a few different names for them, but they all kind of get rallied around this guy named Malcolm Zydeck. So yeah, it's my own personal projects that have this character involved. So I've been off Facebook for a few years. And when I decided, okay, I need to get back in touch with the action figure community, if I'm thinking about doing stories, comics, maybe action figures, something like that, I need to get back in. So about the same time that I found the call for entries for Operation Recall, I said, okay, now's the time. Like, I've got to get back on Facebook.
Perfect timing.
Let's do something that can be recognizable just for me as sort of like an action figure, intellectual property, creative guy. So my actual name is Chad LaForce, but on Facebook, I'm Malcolm Zydeck because it's this figure from my, plus I just think it's a cooler name than my personal name, a bit more mysterious and stuff like that. So yeah. So when you see Malcolm Zydeck on Facebook, but you see someone talking about Cadaver and they say he was submitted or created by Chad, we're the same person for all.
So while you were working on video games and wanting to do your own stuff, I mean, were you also collecting the action figures? Are you a toy collector, a G.I. Joe collector, Motu, whatever?
The short version of the long story for me is I was born in the mid-70s. I'm a little bit, you know, older. I'm in my late 40s here.
Same.
So my first love was Star Wars, right? Because my earliest memory is going to see that first film on a re-release in theaters when I'm 4 or 5 years old, right? For me, being that young, stormtroopers and everything were just like these crazy robots from, like, I didn't really grasp the story, right? But the visuals were so compelling. So Star Wars was my first love. But the one day, my oldest stepbrother, he brings home, the very first time I ever laid eyes on them, he brought home a Skeletor and a Beastman toy.
Oh, wow.
I'm like 6 years old, seven. Dude, I laid eyes on those things and I was like, what is that? Because I had, like, it was feeding sort of the Star Wars thing that I had in me, right? This desire for like really far-flung fantasies. So I started collecting Motu first. Motu was sort of like I've been collecting Star Wars, right? When Motu came out, I kind of switched and was like, give me everything Masters of the Universe. And then the cartoon came on and ruined it for me. Because I was old enough to read the little mini comics, you know, that came with the figures, and they were really like Conan, High Sumerian, Sword and Sorcery, like really had some teeth to it. And then I'm like, here's this guy in a purple leotard who changes into He-Man, but doesn't even change his body, his face, or his hair, and nobody can figure it out. He's got this weird little bizarre like Orko guy, and Castle Grayskull is sort of like, doesn't really have any power. I'm like, what is happening here? I went from Star Wars to MOTU, and I was cool with MOTU for about a year and a half. And then the first wave of G.I. Joe hit, and I was like, I can get behind this. And I was G.I. Joe on Transformers, everything.
Do you remember your first G.I. Joe?
My first G.I. Joe was not Snake Eyes, unfortunately. He was the one I really wanted. I'm almost sure that my first one was Duke.
Oh, wow. So that you have this sort of sense memory where you can go back to all the way back to Star Wars and then jump into MOTU and then into G.I. Joe and you can name these first characters. I think that's really kind of a neat thing.
Yeah.
I'm always jealous when I meet people like that. My MOTU is kind of the opposite of yours. As I saw the cartoon, I thought it was neat. And then somebody showed up with a toy and I was like, what is this? This isn't fun to play with because I was used to 3¾ putting a figure in a jet and flying the Millennium Falcon around.
Yeah.
And then when Joe's hit, it was like, it's Star Wars, but I can bend the elbows and the knees. And there was a cartoon and there was a comic book. I mean, I was reading the Star Wars comic book as well, but G.I. Joe was my first comic.
The G.I. Joe comic for me was also really pivotal because I wasn't into comic books and wasn't collecting any of them. Again, I had this older stepbrother who was kind of artsy and was an influence on me. And we were playing D&D together and stuff. And he was kind of a cool guy, my older brother, Andrew. So I had a very sort of like story-driven, narrative-driven idea of what I wanted from toys and things. So I discovered G.I. Joe comic books before any other comic books, really. And it opened up a love of all things comic books for me, you know, and got into Marvel and all this stuff. So it's interesting to always hear other people's sort of journey into like what came first, TV, toys, comics, you know, because it all ends up in this wonderful thing. But it really influences, I think, what we collect and why we're collecting it.
There's so many of us that sort of stumbled into it because of a commercial on TV or a cartoon or, you know, walking down the aisle with mom and like seeing it and freaking out. But the older sibling or older cousin, those are such wonderful things because you're already being handed something down. The comics came to me from my friend at school had three older brothers. So I had seen the cartoon first, but he shows up with like issue 21 or 18 or something of the comic. It blew my mind. And the next thing I know, like I'm a comic book kid. Cartoon was cool, but I'm a comic kid. And it came from a friend's three older brothers. I think there's something really special about, you know, someone a few years older that can still speak the language, handing something down. So you walk into the toy community, having been off Facebook for a while. You're already a collector of toys, multiple lines. You're working in video games. And you see a posting, a cattle call for also the dream of all of us when we were kids.
Yeah.
You had three really neat submissions, but one of them was chosen by the creative team. Do you know if it was Ron or Mark? Do you know who is your designer?
Somehow I found this call for entries on 3djoes.com. And I honestly don't remember how I stumbled across it, but it felt rather random. But I just felt like I felt a real compulsion to submit. Now, me, I'm a pretty high-level professional artist. Like, I've done card work for Marvel. I've worked on some Walking Dead stuff. Like, I kind of have a bit of a history of working with some of these big IPs, not in a grand level, but on a functional level. And I've been in video games building my own stuff. Like, I mean, I've worked with Kevin Eastman on a comic book that Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of the Ninja Turtles, I worked with him on a comic book that I wrote that had all my characters. And I mean, I've done some kind of high-profile stuff. But when you're in video games, you don't attach your name to everything. It's all about the IP, right? So a lot of people don't know a lot of the things that I've done. But I stumble across this call for entries. And as you say, it's kind of the dream, right? Because like, oh my gosh, those guys. And when I went to 3djoes.com, I didn't know anybody's name. I knew Hama from writing comics. And like, I've always been in love with Hama. Me and my childhood friends would talk about, you know, Larry Hama. But there's other guys, I didn't know them. I didn't know their name. Like, I've loved G.I. Joe. I'm rebuilding my collection of G.I. Joes that I had as a kid. But I've never been deep. Like, I didn't know Carson. I didn't know 3djoes.com until I came across this call for entries rather randomly. So I started doing some research and looking. I'm like, oh, gosh, these guys are my people. And I would love to have these fellows that really helped fashion so much of my childhood working on something of mine. But I say all that as a lead in to say that I have a rule. As kind of a professional artist, I don't do contests because I just don't. As a professional, it's not something that I do, but I really felt compelled. I just felt like, you know what? I have to submit to this. The opportunity is so grand and we're doing this for such a great reason that I'm going to sort of like put my rules aside and be like, let's do this. So I spent 3 days and I hammered out my three best concepts. and put them in. But, you know, for me, it was like a brand new, like I'm just getting back on Facebook. I finally own my first three O-ring action figures since I was, you know, 12 years old when I gave them all to my younger brother. Like I've now got three at the time when I come back into the community, like I'm brand new. I didn't even go watch the Snake Eyes movie and stuff. But I'm like this grown-up kid who really loved G.I. Joe and O-ring figures as a kid till right about the time when the movie came out. And then I just vanished from the scene because I sort of grew out of it, went into comics, found girls, you know, found middle school, found sports, you know, whatever. So now, you know, a month and a half later, this thing's been chosen. I'm absolutely in love with Carson. I'm over the moon over this whole project. I'm absolutely flattered that I was chosen. But, you know, since then, I've picked up 25 more O-ring figures on Shopify. You know, so this whole, I feel like for me, this resurgence of O-ring has sort of hit for me at the same time that I just kind of resurfaced. About the time I'm getting back on Facebook, call sign Longbow was just going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just all of it. And then the HasLab has launched the HisTank and things. So it's been this beautiful little perfect storm of me kind of being, I think, right place, right time, and stumbling upon it and just loving it.
I love this. And I love it because we all have our origin stories. We all started at different times. We're all jealous of the people that were in before us, the early adopters and et cetera. You know, I have friends in the G.I. Joe community that, you know, they were a couple years younger than me. So in the 90s, when you and I are trying to date and chasing the newfound dream, they were going to yard sales and buying up everybody's collections, going to high school and buying up their friends' collections, and they never had a dark period. Likewise, though, I think it's really neat that now your origin story is you're fresh, brand new. This is your origin story. And so to absolutely, without authority, speak for the entire community of toy collectors, you know, welcome back.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the fold. I love that you found your way back and that in finding your way back, you have stumbled into call sign Longbow and now Operation Recall. You're meeting Carson. He shared with me two or three pieces of art that you did for him with Rotello and your character Cadaver. He talked at length at Joe Fest, which I know you missed, about the symbol that you just kind of threw out there for Cadaver and how altering that, they can use that as sort of the bad guy logo, which is not just a I'm new back or not just a I'm submitting a design, but now like you've put your foot in it. You're all the way deep into this. And yeah, it's for a few free figures, but I think it's more along the lines of it's for this dream that we all had as kids. We all designed action figures as kids. You know, I remember going to school with my stack of G.I. Joe that I designed and somebody had a stack of Silverhawks.
Wow.
And somebody had drawn the Silverhawk character from the side with no arm. And I was like, why would you do that? Well, I read in a magazine that this is how you're supposed to design characters as a professional. All right. All my Joes, you know, I would draw like top down. So you're looking at the top of their head and their shoulders and their little feet sticking out. And then I would draw them from the front, the back, underneath, looking at the bottom of his feet. I'm 10. It's dumb. But we all had that experience. And now as an adult, as you're working on your own lines, also walk in and have an impact on this and reconnect with your childhood. I think that's beautiful. And I do. I do welcome you back to the toy community. And I mourn your wallet.
Tell me about it. The interesting thing is my kids are all now, my youngest is almost 17.
Okay.
And you know, I'm like in my late 40s over here, right? So during my dark period, my kids had toys and I was able to play with their toys. And what we didn't have is we didn't have any O-ring. You know, what I've really come back to here is sort of like that real sweet spot for me, because what I'm buying now, what I'm going on eBay and I'm walking into hobby shops and stuff and buying, as I'm buying the vintage O-ring Joes, not just the ones I had as a kid, but some that I, you know, that I never got for Christmas as a kid that now I'm like, I could have. And I'm also buying like little original GoBots and things, you know, because I never really had any GoBots. I had some Transformers. So I'm sort of recollecting stuff that I didn't have then. So I wasn't completely out of the toy market. But now I'm just old enough and, you know, sort of like spoiled enough that I can really just kind of do this for me. And I had out of my garage this big chest. It was literally like an old vintage chest that had the vehicles from my G.I. Joe collection that I had as a kid. And in about the early 2000s, that garage burned down and I lost my Conquest and my tank and all, you know, all the type of stuff that had just been sort of out there preserved for posterity. It's just gone, you know. So to be able to come back and collect some of it now is very, very cool. You know, it's almost like a spiritual journey for me in some ways to relive some of those memories and have it kind of come back. You know, the same people that got me into toys as a kid are the same ones that got me out of it, you know, sort of like older brothers that now, you know, they're like, hey, I brought home this cool collectible and we played D&D and you discovered toys and you start doing it. Then, you know, they're 17, 18, 19 and got girlfriends, think about getting engaged and stuff. And they're kind of saying to you as a younger person, like, are you just going to play with toys forever? You know, are you ever going to grow up? And this sort of as they move through things, you know, 5 years behind, I kind of move through things as well. It's similar with kids, you know, when you've got kids in the house, you're a little bit beholden to this idea that my kids play with toys. Now, it's not a thing that we have to have, but it's just something that kind of creeps in. Coming to my late 40s, I just get to just kind of do it for me and do it for fun and let it be awesome. But I've done art for toys. You know, I've had characters that I either designed or helped design for video games, I've had them made into really nice, like resin maquettes that have been shipped all around the world. So I'm not totally unfamiliar to having some of my concepts become t-shirts, become not action figures, but like really nice, you know, like $300 sort of like
actualized.
Yeah, yeah. And not a lot, but it's happened once or twice for me. And it's been very, very cool. But this is kind of the pinnacle, right?
Yeah,
with Operation Recall, because it's guys that are truly kind of living legends. They're bringing so much passion to it, and it'll be O-ring. It's just this beautiful, perfect storm, as I said before. You know, the wonderful little, you know, end cap to all the time spent getting to where we are now.
Alexander, you know, he's 10. I'm in my late 40s. I just started late. And when he was younger, he was at a birthday party and saw some really simple one-changer Transformers, and from there, I introduced him to G1 Transformer and to G.I. Joe at a very young age. It was before he had the influence of video games and Minecraft and Pokemon, and it glommed on. And he's been hardcore into this since he was like 3.5, 4 years old, and now he's about to turn 11. While I, you know, I'm not a part of you guys, I'm getting to see him be a part of it, and I know that we are very close to the precipice of those changes where he may have a dark period and he may not. He may be one of the lucky few that hold on to his childlike enthusiasm, whereas I did not. He may hold on to that. He may walk away. He may never care about toys again, but this is an experience that could impact his adult life, or it could be just one of those memories where my whole family and my group of friends supported me, and look at this thing that I have on the wall. Isn't that neat? And I don't really care where it goes. That's on him. But I'm so here for it. It's crazy. And now I get to see you as one of his peers, or him as one of yours. I get to meet you. We've never met because, as you said, you're new to the groups. And we've talked a lot about you as a human, but we should be talking about you as Kadaver. The symbol is sparked a fire in terms of the bad guy organization. And Kadaver, you know, when you designed him, he was a sort of zombie hunter operative, but this isn't really a zombie hunting toy line. So the designers, whether it's Ron or Mark, I'm not sure which.
I think Mark.
So Mark is also doing shh. I don't know if you've looked up the characters that Mark's created yet, but they're amazing.
They are.
But I know that when you drew these and you put these online and I saw that you drew them in an O-ring style, I was immediately like, oh shit, one of your three has to make it through. This is incredible.
Thank you so much.
Sure. But now I'm just talking about your shit. So let me pause for a moment and let you talk about Kadaver.
Thanks. When I saw the call for entries, of course, what I do professionally is it's my job to get creative ideas in front of the right people and make it happen. It's literally my job description as a creative director in video games. And a lot of times it has to do with creating characters, heroes, particularly things that appeal to a very broad group of people. So I was looking at this contest from that point of view, and I said, okay, I've got to submit some stuff here that I think will really grab them. And so for that, I focused on the visuals. And so I went to 3djoes.com and said, what are these guys used to seeing? And I saw these cool old drawings where they had actually sort of designed, they had illustrated what they envisioned the figure would look like with all the seams and joints and swivel wrists. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do one of those with each of my concepts. I'm going to give them sort of some real meat on the bone and present this very articulated O-ring figure presentation for what I'm doing. But I'm also going to sort of show them what I think it might look like in a more comic book or sort of a modern fantasy environment. And then I also want to give them embellishing elements like logos and things like that, that make this thing feel a bit grounded. So I took that sort of three-part approach with everything that I was putting in. And I also put a clock for myself because, again, everything's going to be done in like 72 hours here and it's going in. I'm going to give it my best shot, but then I've got to move on to like other things that I do, you know. I had the idea for some of these characters already. So with Kadaver, now, and Carson talked from time to time about Kadaver kind of being like the head bad guy. I don't know if that actually means he becomes sort of like a Cobra Commander or if it's more like what he sort of symbolizes becomes the symbology for the bad guys. And as you said, maybe Kadaver becomes a bit more of a troop builder, you know, or that type of thing. And I'm okay with all that. But when I submitted, I said, let me give them everything I think they want, which is cool visuals, some compelling iconography, and a drawing or a sketch that sort of says, here's how this might actually look as an action figure. So I did those things first. But I had a secondary higher level goal, which was I'd like to influence the story on this thing. I love Larry Hama, but I wanted to see if I could throw in some things that might help shape the world. Because again, that's actually my day job, right? Is to build worlds and to put characters in them and things like that. I wrote my own file cards and sent them in. I wrote these sort of like backstories for each one. And what I kind of pitched was the thing that I think might become my own O-ring line of action figures. The broad universe is called Undead Operator, which literally means these operators that cleanse cities of the undead, right? Zombies, vampires, werewolves. These are like retired Joes, if you will, when the government's now grappling with this idea of what would the world actually do if zombies broke out? You can't just walk up and kill them. They are, were, still are people. You know, like I can imagine this would become a very serious problem, right? If like undead actually appeared and they were thinking intelligent beings to a certain degree, politically, that's an absolute mess. And by the way, if it's their fundamental drive to kill people, this thing could really be a problem if it happened. So what would some cities need to do? The military would be embroiled with no activity because we've got these politicians and things saying, we're not really sure how we want to handle this. But you've got this real problem for actual, you know, governors and big cities and populated areas where thousands of people are dying every day because of this thing. So I concepted this idea of these paramilitary operators that are sort of like retired Joes that get called in very secretly by this Malcolm Zydeck guy as he partners with some sort of subsets of government and says, hey, let us just clean up certain streets and things because you need at least your population centers free of this thing. And all the embroilment and all the story that goes with them having to be super covert and where do they get their equipment from and the danger to their own selves. So the whole universe is kind of called Undead Operator. It's all about these paramilitary guys that have been hired covertly to sort of take out the zombie trash, if you will, but there's all this nuance to it. Within that group, there's a subset that's called Easy Kill 9, which is this particular group of operators that are sort of like the best of the best of the undead operators. And when I do my line, if I do my line, it will probably be these nine people, these nine characters that I'll put out there for everyone. So having said all that, I pitched a little bit of that along with Kadaver and Black Maven and Penance when I submitted them to see, does the group want to grab any little bits of this and kind of go a little bit off from the sort of typical Joes versus Cobra thing? And some of that may, in fact, work its way into the universe. Like if they want to grab it and take it, they can, because I've submitted to them. But what I think is happening is they really love the visuals. That whole zombie thing didn't really work with what everyone else was submitting. It's very much sort of a G.I. Joe thing with the G.I. Joe nostalgia thing. And that's all cool. I'm 100% on board. If all that plays out like that and Kadaver becomes sort of a really well-known, you know, thing, now I really just want to kind of ride that ride and see what they do with it and sort of step back and just watch the awesomeness unfold. And then later, you know, if it seems like a good place and a good time to sort of do my own subset of it and do Easy Kill 9 or something like that, the community, I think, would naturally be interested in that sort of thing. And maybe it will come about. But the main thing that I submitted with Kadaver was this undead operator background. And I just think that they didn't really think that it fit with the universe, and it probably doesn't. So Kadaver's really like this clean slate for them to take it and do what the Operational Recall team does best, which is to put that thing on rails, to go, you know, sort of full sci-fi fantasy with it, and whatever they want to do, they'll do. And it'll be very, very interesting for me to watch that stuff unfold.
Curious to see how your skull logo, how that morphs, how that changes. And then as a professional, you're sending in something that has already gone through a little bit of an iterative process and it's not a rough draft. Whereas, say, like a 10-year-old, they're sending in something that's a little more raw and a little more fast and loose. And this is really something that's interesting about this line, is that it really runs the gamut from, you know, kids to full-on vetted professionals. Mark is a fantastic designer, and some of all of our favorite characters came out of Mark. Mark was the second most prolific designer after Ron, at least in terms of what made it into visual media. So the fact that Mark is working on Alexander's submission is really kind of special, because we know Ron. We're friends with Ron. Ron and Alexander have spent a lot of time talking. And so with him touching yours as well, I'm excited to see how the visual language translates between all the different characters that he works on, as well as how it translates between all the different characters Ron works on. So I don't expect Kadaver to look like Kadaver today, but the seed that you were able to plant in that soil is already so compelling that I can't imagine it's going to be anything less than spectacular.
You know, I have no idea what to expect. I'm super excited that he's working on it. You know, and as you say, he may not look anything like what I submitted. And that's actually totally cool, because by all means, let's let these guys really do what they do best. I'm not really sure what he might do with it. And that's part of the fun. Like, I really just want to kind of watch it go through that whole process from what I submitted. My only real hope for it is that he might still have a skull logo on his face and be called Kadaver. Like, that's my whole dream for it, right? That much would kind of remain. Because what I submitted was really an undead operator concept. And while it can work very well in Operation Recall, my whole thought, because I went in this thing with my eyes wide open, right? My whole thought is, they're really going to redesign this thing. So let me create a concept that I think has some meat on the bone, that really represents me as an artist and what I'd like to see in an action figure. And let me just remove myself from it after that, if it gets picked, and just say, I can't wait to see what you guys leave on the table, and what's like, I'm all in, like, just, you know, have a great time with it. And of course, that's what they're going to do. They don't need my permission, because that's why I submitted. So that part's going to be so much fun for me. And I've removed from myself the whole thought of, oh, I hope they keep his pistol and I hope he has like a machete type. So I don't care about any of that stuff, right? I'm like, I want to see where this inspiration takes them and how it taps into things that they've maybe always wanted to create. Because these guys have been out of the O-ring figure business for a minute, you know? It's super interesting for me to watch that process. From what Carson has said, although even Carson could be thinking one thing and it goes totally different, because I really believe it's these professionals that are going to be in control of this thing. Carson really wants that Kadaver logo to kind of stay as it is, and it might, or it might go through quite a bit of permutations. My instinct was that when Carson was at the selection committee process, they sort of said this guy could be our head bad guy. Maybe Hama will come in and change that. Maybe Mark will be like, no, I have a different purpose for him, whatever. My personal hope is that he will sort of become this kind of Cobra Commander. I would love to see that happen. I'd really love when this whole thing rolls out that Kadaver is kind of like the evil mastermind behind this whole thing. But who knows? You know, he might really become more of a soldier army builder, and I'd be just fine with that type of stuff as well. To speak of Shh for a moment, I really think he's going to become the Snake Eyes of this whole thing. I have a feeling that's going to become the darling character of a great number of collectors. And I think they're smart enough to see they've got a little bit of lightning in a bottle there. As Carson was saying the other night when he was talking to the Terradrome folks, he was talking about the broader IP, but I really think it came up as they were talking about Shh, in the sense that you have an opportunity here with this fun character that has these ninja qualities, but also has a little bit of a modern twist, and also appeals, I think, to a demographic group of people that we're all really trying to pay some homage to right now, you know, as far as just sort of like disabilities and personal struggles and things like that. I think he might, like Snake Eyes, become the real emotional crux of sort of the good guy team, which would be very, very cool, and especially for Hama to work on something like that.
I've thought about, you know, Hama being involved, and kind of looking at it in the exact opposite direction, because he already worked on Snake Eyes for so many years. Why would he do that twice? But that would be amazing. That would be everything that a child of 10 years could hope for.
I think if Hama were to really sink his teeth into this, I don't think you're going to get Snake Eyes. If I can just wax philosophical for a second, I think you're going to get positioned as a Snake Eyes character. But remember, Hama has gone through a lot of things that, like, myself and Mark also went through, where he had marketers coming to him like, you have to accomplish this. So he had grandiose visions for Snake Eyes, right? Some of it didn't get done. I'm just certain of it, because he's like, I just can't do that storyline. Snake Eyes has to become 70% what marketing wants and, you know, 30% what I feel in the character. Now, with something like he doesn't have that, right? So what you could see is Hama reverberating all this untapped stuff that he had once wanted for a character like Snake Eyes, and he now has this other opportunity to do it in something new. And that's what I hope this project really brings. That's why I think Carson started it, and why all these men have really come together and said, yeah, we want to do that.
I think that's amazing, and I can't wait to have Alexander's response when he hears you say that.
Awesome. He's a favorite already, you know. She was really, a lot of people are talking about that. People were very excited for that to get unlocked. So yeah.
When he drew his characters, he asked me to help him sketch them up. And so I said, sure. And I started sketching up the first two, and then I got to Shh. And he was like, no, it doesn't have this, and it doesn't have that, and it doesn't have this. While I understand everything you just said, Mark or Ron or whomever, if they choose this, they're going to redesign it in however way they want. And it may not look anything like you wanted or expected. The only thing we're going to know for sure is that the reason why they chose him will be represented in the design. And so he's like, okay, you can leave the bracers on. But he was very much like all black ninja gi, hook swords.
They're so great.
I expected 1,000 Snake Eyes to be submitted. You know, I asked Carson about that when they did choose Shh. And he was like, honestly, most people were survivalists, not ninjas. Which I found really interesting, and it that really talks to how our child minds have grown into adults, and we're all looking at survivalists instead of ninjas as the next ultimate warrior.
When I look at Cadaver, actually, like, I see quite a bit of ninja in him, because he holds these, like, throwing daggers. The whole idea with Cadaver, the thing that really drove me on him, is he's a paramilitary operator. This guy's seen some rough stuff. Now he's been commissioned to clean up some streets, and the stakes are higher because there's normal people potentially living 3 feet away, and the enemy is undead. And thirdly, you're not really allowed to do this. So I'm boiling all that into a character, and I guess he does work perfect as a bad guy, because I left him very sort of morally ambiguous, you know. But in bowling all that in, I'm like, well, what's the main thing he's got to do? He's got to be absolutely silent. This guy has to kill you with one hit and nobody knows it happens. I mean, that's Snake Eyes. That's silent weapons.
Yeah.
Right? So what am I giving? I'm giving him throwing daggers, and I'm giving him, you know, he's got a gun, but it's the absolute last resort. This guy has a machete style knife, and his job is to go through an alleyway and behead all of them and be gone like a ghost, and nobody knows that he was there. So it's very Snake Eyes without the hand-to-hand combat, because, you know, you don't want to get too close. You just want to whack these dudes and be gone, right, type of thing. I find a bunch of Snake Eyes crept into Cadaver, but he's also just as much a survivalist, right? Because literally, like, you've got to get in and get out and get this thing done, and you've got to be an absolute ghost. And by the way, don't get scratched.
Right.
The armor and stuff I put him in is very head-to-toe, and it's very, like, you can't penetrate this with anything. So, like, if you grab a hold of this guy, you're not going to tear his gear and stuff. So I went through that whole process as well. And so I ended up with a lot of Snake Eyes. But I wanted to say just real quick a thing that crosses my mind about my hope, and what I think is going to be so interesting. The same way that they very much honored what their marketers and their PR executives and stuff wanted back when they worked on Hasbro, they're going to be looking for a little bit of that, and they're going to find it in the submissions, right? So if they see something that they feel was a part of the heart and soul of that person that submitted, they're going to fight to actually keep that and not remove it. And it's going to become part of the file cards and part of the costume and stuff like that. So my hope is that with these, that we're all going to have some very special moments with Shh and Cadaver and these others, where we're like, oh my gosh, they actually homaged us, you know, on those things and kept some stuff in there. I think it's really going to be special before it's over.
You know, as Alexander's dad, my main priority was to help this Kickstarter get to 180. That's when he unlocked. Now that it has, my priority is to make sure every single one of you get to play. You know, I want us to hit 240 so that Bobby, who's the other young man in the group, so that these two young guys can experience this together. But then I want 480 because I want every single one of these live. I don't want to have to wait another month, 3 months, 6 months for a second Kickstarter. I don't want any of you guys who are involved to have to go through the heartache of having to wait an extra year of production time. And this is also why I wanted to sit down with you and the other, everyone that contributed, submitted, and was chosen. I hope to be able to sit down with all of you guys and have this same conversation. I told you when we started, if we can get 5 minutes of clean audio, then it's a success for me. But I think what I'm gaining instead is someone I hope to see at shows.
Oh, yeah.
Someone I hope to clink glasses with, whether you're a drinker and that's beer or you're a teetotaler and that's, you know, soda. I don't care, but breaking bread and more than me to have you and A meet and to have you guys who are now peers in this small fraternity be able to spend time and get pictures. And when I put all of these characters in the same sort of acrylic that I keep my Joes in, they'll all be lined up beside each other.
Tell A that as a community, we're all super proud of him. You know, what a great concept and just a wonderful thing for, I'm so excited to play with it, you know, and to be able to share that fraternity with him. I just hope you'll keep reinforcing him for all of us that we're all just over the moon about it. I want to tell you one thing. I've seen a few things that not everyone has seen, as I've hinted to you in the past. Now, these things are not final, so they may go through permutations, but I have maybe read a little bit of the material that has been created already around, and it was pretty cool stuff, dude. maybe it'll all go away and become something, but what I read, I was like, oh boy, that's going to be a good time. So people are really sinking their teeth into this stuff and some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes, and it can only get better, you know, as some of the more core team gets involved. But I only say this because actually, you know, Carson was talking about it the other night. He was saying things that I'm saying right now, so I'm not letting any cats out of the bag. He was telling people, we've already started working on a comic book script, and there's like 30 some pages worth of script. It may get changed, but to read a little bit about sort of how some high-end creatives that are involved in this project were seeing and where he comes from and where he's going, bro, that was cool stuff and really positive stuff. So I think we're just going to have an absolute time, you know, between now and next December, watching these things emerge and getting the sneak peeks and stuff. I just think you should both be just super encouraged that it's really going to be a class act, kind of lightning in a bottle type of thing.
I was going to be in before A was involved because I like toys, but him being involved, I'm going nuts. The fact that I have a podcast just gives me another platform in which to support him. But to hear everything you're saying, I think he's probably going to do backflips. You know, as his dad, of course, like I'm going to be in tears with everything you're saying. But when I try to pull myself back and just be, you know, the guy with a mic, it's still pretty goddamn cool. Because I didn't come on here to talk about Shh. I came on here to talk about Kadaver. The fact that you are talking about it in terms of Kadaver also makes me really excited because I want to put those two on a team together and against each other and fighting on the ledge or back to back fighting something else. I'm excited for Kadaver. But moreover, listening to Carson talk about Kadaver and the logo and everything else, and then seeing that piece of art you did with Kadaver in the shadows with a couple finger knives, with Rotello has just walked past him, completely not seeing him. Him and Homer completely missed him. And then someone on Facebook put Abracadaver.
I think that was Articulated Chad.
Yes, it was. It was Articulated Chad. Thank you for my bad memory. Well, now I have to put him against Rotello. Having seen some of the other small pieces of art you did for, I don't know if we should be pronouncing it. I'm going to have to ask when hopefully I get him on here. I've been pronouncing it Sol Eagle. I don't know if it should be Soul Eagle. The piece you did for that, Carson shared with me. And then the piece that you did of Rotello on the orange, he shared with me because he knew we'd be talking. And my first response to him was, when Mark is done, I'm going to need one of these for sure. So I don't know what your commission rate is. You don't have to tell me today, but I'm going to need a shh and maybe a second piece of shh versus cadaver.
We'll do it for sure. That'll be awesome.
Without any authority, but I don't give a shit. I am absolutely welcoming you back to the G.I. Joe toy community.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're a community like every other. There are some of us that are assholes. There are some of us that are angels. And I'm genuinely glad you're here. Not just because of cadaver, but also with cadaver.
It's the funnest thing. It's good to be back. Having the opportunity to submit was really, really fun. Being sort of chosen has been like when I walked into my local comic book shop yesterday where I've known the guy for, 4 years now. I introduced him to doing sketch cards for like Marvel and Star Wars. And he's now going gangbusters. He's a really talented artist himself, a really talented artist. His name is Steve. He runs Koi's Comics. And to walk in there yesterday and unpack for him what was happening with this for me, he's like, wait, what? Dude, that's crazy. And he's like, where's the campaign? Because I have to have, like a Chad LaForce original type of thing. It just creates such a fun, it's such a great conversation. And we haven't even seen these figures made yet, right? Like the Kickstarter's funded. We're, it's coming, et cetera. But who knows what all this will become and stuff. But the moment you start telling people about it, not only from a friend perspective, but also I think from a business perspective, he's like, what are you going to do with these ones you get? Like, are you going to bring some of those in here? Whatever, type of thing. So it's just cool all over the place, to see some of that stuff happen. So it's very, very cool to be back and to have this really fun community. And it's a bit of a renaissance right now. I honestly think for O-Rings, there's something kind of magical happening, not just with G.I. Joe, but in the broader sense of this love that so many of us have for O-Rings and, RoboSkull coming in and doing stuff where your O-rings fit right in, call sign Longbow and just this idea that there's this fun new content, which is very homage to the early 80s stuff, but has this new, it's got this new flavor to it as well. It's been this perfect little storm of such a good time. I'm just over the moon about it. And to be able to come on podcasts and talk about the stuff we loved as kids, what our dark time was, how we found our way back and all that stuff. It's the funnest thing ever. But the pinnacle thing I'm hoping for is to interact with Larry Hama in just any way whatsoever, like to read that file card that he makes for Cadaver and I'm a big fan of Damselfly, by the way. I may or may not have illustrated quite a bit of her over the past week or so to show some things to Carson, which he really loved. It was so fun being able to put pen to paper and do some illustrations of her. There's another great one, and I'm so sorry that I forget her name, but we've got a female paratrooper who has a scar over her, I think over her left eye, who also is just sort of a hellion. Lilith is what they call her. But we've just got some great, great characters that you already kind of see what they are in your mind, but we haven't seen, what the teams do. And some of them were really just sort of like Photoshop collages of, of stuff found on the internet of sort of like real paratroopers and stuff. And then the submitter said, this is kind of what I envision this character being. And that stuff was enough to spark the creative team into saying, we have to have him. We have to have her. We have to have that figure. It's a really unusual thing, and it's a really unusual process that you don't really find anywhere else. And with a fantastic tool like Kickstarter to get it crowdfunded and to have, the lion's share of the resources going right to these creators that are now a bit older that brought us so much joy to be able to give back in that way. There's just not really anything out there like it. If we can take something like Operation Recall that has so much depth to it, where it's bringing the community right in, and it's bringing not just an homage to those original characters, but some real financial lifeblood and some real authority and a real platform back to them. Carson is greatly to be commended. And every one of those gentlemen that's on that team, I think, is greatly to be commended for not saying, hey, we have 40 concepts of our own that never got made. Instead, they said, hey, man, like, let's partner with the people that are loving this stuff. Let's do this new Genesis. As I've said about four times now, it's just about the coolest thing ever. I'm super excited to be part of it.
This has been an Operation Recall Order of Battle.